Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Who remembers something from the class we just had? Raise your hand, please. Perhaps that's what I wanted to say. I wish it just had one mantra. I also mentioned that we can listen. Sometimes the mind is very speedy and it won't even listen to one mantra. Then we can listen to one holy name until it slows down. Listen to one mantra. Actually, the effect of a mantra, many, many holy names, or 16, is greater than even one name of Krishna. This is the Maha Mantra. And if we actually listen to one Maha Mantra, the effect is incredible. What to speak of if we hear many, many, many Maha Mantras by the grace of Krishna.
It's hard to hear you without the mic.
We can have that.
No, yes, that one's there. So, we try just to listen to one Maha Mantra. Don't try to chant 16 good rounds. Don't try to chant one good round or 10 Maha Mantras. Just one. It's the very nature of the mind that this is what it needs. We'll be speaking Krishna willing. We'll speak about this particular subject about the nature of the mind a little bit later. But before it works, just because the nature of the mind is as it is, we have to be quite determined, make a sankalpa, a determination. I don't have anything else to do right now, nothing other than listen to this one Maha Mantra. And it's not that every Maha Mantra you have to pause for 5 minutes and make your determination to chant and listen to that mantra, but we should become determined before we chant that mantra. It can be done very rapidly. Basically, we have to remember what it is that we're doing, why we're sitting here. Picking up the bead bag is not an opportunity to allow the mind to wander all over the universe, which it can tend to be. It's a time when we are entering into our personal relationship with Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the whole... It's all there in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now the third principle is yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatastatoniyam yetat atmaneva vishamnayat. That it's part of sankalpa in one sense, but all you have to do is decide that I'm going to bring it back, my mind back, from wherever it has wanders or tries to wander. No, I have to listen to this one Maha Mantra. And the nature of the mind is nischalati, manas astiram, it's always moving, chanchalam, it's flickering, it's fickle-minded, jumping from here to there. But no, I've taken a vow that now I'm going to listen, or the determination, I'm going to listen to this one Maha Mantra. And then the fourth principle, so you bring it back. Even if you chant terrible mantras 99% of the time, your freedom is only on the one mantra you are chanting now. And therefore, be detached. If I've just chanted a Maha Mantra and I didn't even hear one word, I shouldn't really say this as if it was something to be proud of, but I've chanted 16 rounds and not heard anything at all about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In fact, this is one of my embarrassing confession stories, that I remember the first time I heard, even on my own level, a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It was in 1970. I was in the Japan temple, the Tokyo temple, a brahmachari, and I was walking back and forth on the tatami mats, and suddenly I heard a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I had been chanting already for more than 2 years. And it was shocking. I was actually shocked. Oh, and I thought, oh, this is why they tell you to always listen while you chant. Because it's actually so powerful. And again, if the whole mantra is heard, it has an incredible effect. So I'm not saying that about my own sad case in a bragging way, but we have to be determined and understand what the principle is. And it is to listen to one mantra. That, practically speaking, we can't listen to two mantras at a time. We can't listen to our rounds, 16 rounds at one time. We can only listen to the one mantra we're chanting now. So keep bringing the mind back to that. Make the vow that this is what I'm doing now. And yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatastato niyam yaitat apmineva visham. Bring it back. Always bring it back. And be detached. If I didn't listen to this mantra or the first 15 rounds, even if I didn't hear anything, never mind. There's no freedom to bring those back. The freedom isn't, I'll do it better in the future. The freedom, our freedom is only chanting the one mantra now in a way that we're listening to it. So just go back to this point. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past. Just the one mantra we're chanting now. So in these four very, very, very simple principles is the first key that I wanted to suggest, and that was that listen to one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Don't even think I should listen to one at a time, because in that there's a trap of the future, of the mind going to the future. Now we'll discuss this more, and I'll ask for questions, but first let's practice a little bit. So take out your beads, please. Very simple principles. The mind is very, very simple, actually. It can be complicated, but it's simple. It's not subtle. The mind isn't actually subtle. The false ego is subtle. The mind is gross and plodding. So please take out your beads. Now, in one sense, the most important thing is the principle. Listen to one Maha Mantra. But that won't work. The principle will not work unless the sankalpa is made. The sankalpa is, this is what I'm doing now. And I've made up my mind, I'm going to listen to this one Maha Mantra. Now what I would like to do, since everyone has went through the last few days of chanting and classes and the instructions that have already been given, what I'd like to do is we'll start chanting together. I'll start with one mantra, so you start with my speed. And then at some point, I'll say, go at your own speed. Because, again, we are individuals, and we have different speeds that we're comfortable with. So go at your own speed. So fast isn't important. Slow isn't important. Loud isn't important. Soft isn't important. The one thing that's important is to listen. So chant in that way. And listen to what?
One.
And which one? Yeah, the one. Because I can't listen to the next mantra. Obviously, I can't listen to that now. And nor can I listen to the one I just chanted.
And you said something very nice, that we should start with the Hare.
Yes.
The first Hare.
If you catch the Hare, it makes it so much easier, the first Hare. And sometimes what I've seen, what happens to me is that my mind wanders, and then I don't pick it up till the second part of the mantra, Hare Rama, or the Rama Rama Hare. But that's very good. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't think it's bad at all. But just catch that Rama, and that's the best lead-in to the first Hare. And if you chant one Maha Mantra and listen to it, one Maha Mantra and listen to it, think this is really wonderful. I've done something wonderful. My life is successful. If you chant one Maha Mantra, think it is the most wonderful thing. There's such glorification of chanting one mantra offenselessly. Offenselessly means, I mean, in this context especially, no pramada, no mind wandering. If we listen to each word of the one time, it's wonderful. And feel like that this is wonderful. Don't, because we tend to think about all the mantras I don't hear, I heard part of. Don't, just be detached. Yato yato nishtalati, bring it back and try again. And this is where our freedom lies. And after some time, the mind can very, very, very quickly or slowly, depending on the nature of the mind, it slows down. And when it slows down, you have your freedom and you don't have to work very hard. When it slows down, your freedom, and then it comes down to the same point though. I found what happened to me yesterday was that after chanting for a while, after 2 o'clock, or just before 2 o'clock, my mind slowed down and I had my freedom to be able to listen to every mantra. The chanting was on the clearing stage. And there was no unhappiness, there was joyfulness, but I misused my freedom. I just was happy being happy. That is not Krishna consciousness, because Krishna, he was there peripherally, just on the edges. So there's many other things we can say, and gradually things will come out. But let's now not talk so much, but let's try and chant. Please remember one thing, sankalpa. Decide what you're doing right now. Okay, I'll chant the first mantra and we'll chant a while all together in one voice, and then I'll say at your own speed, and then chant at your own speed. And every once in a while I'll say remember your sankalpa, just to remind everyone, because the mind can be very tricky. Or what I'll do in between, I'll speed up a bit. We'll all chant together, I'll speed up. You'll hear my voice, it'll speed up, then speed up with me, and then I'll say own speed. Ready? You have to be very determined. And wherever it goes, just bring it back. That's where your freedom is. That's where your choice is. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Remember the Sankalpa. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Okay, stop. Stop. Okay. The difference between chant on the difference to the consciousness between chanting attentive rounds and inattentive rounds is the difference between night and day. Okay, how did you do with that, without just chanting? Please be honest, and not only good reports. Anyone have a bad report? Yes. How did you do? Just how did you do? Okay, when you started thinking, I wish I could close. When I open my eyes, I see that, and then when I close my eyes, you're actually starting to talk to yourself. You know what it's called when someone talks to themselves? Don't engage in a conversation with your mind. Eyes open, eyes closed. Never mind. Do what is comfortable. Just listen to one Maha Mantra. Don't engage in the conversation with the mind. The mind will be tricky. Or if you... Yes. Thank you. Yeah. What did you do when the other voice came in? You forgot to move your beads. What did you do? Usually once they start going, you could... With every time you move the bead, just renew your sankalpa. Use it at a time like that yes, I'm going to listen. But don't start a dialogue with your mind. That's a very important point in this. Thank you. Krishna's names, it's Krishna. Anyone else? Let's see if there's anyone who hasn't said anything yet. Where did that feeling come from? Did it first take birth in your mind? But don't worry about it. Let's chant. He'll come to you, yayatam mampapadyante. He'll come to you according to how much you want to meet him. But if we chant properly, obviously our desire to be with him and the impurities and the fears will go, obviously. But don't worry about the fears. Don't worry about what the mind is thinking, the positive, the negative. You know, you start chanting, and suddenly the mind was, hey, I listened to a mantra. That was really great. And then immediately, boom, your mind's out, it's gone. So you say, yes, yes, just listen to one mantra. Just go back. No matter what you're feeling or thinking, just go back to one simple thing. And when the mind understands that you're serious, it will slow down. And let the mantra reveal Krishna in all respects. That's the teachings of our line. Don't fear. Just chant one mantra. Thank you. Yes, please.
It seems there is a small sankalpa, at low speed at least, before every word. And when the speed increases, some words disappear, because some of them are here and some of them not. So it's like...
No matter what happens, just bring it back to the same point. Don't worry about it. Because what the mind will do, it'll start criticizing you. You'll start criticizing yourself. And then it'll start glorifying you. and then it will criticize you, and you get so confused, and then it's gone. Just don't worry about anything. Practically speaking, from what I've seen, is that when you make it a little faster, there's less room for the mind to escape from, because it knows what it has to do next. If you're determined, it will know what it has to do next is listen to that next word. That's my answer to that. Any other, Mataji? Gopinath Mata? Yes. So what to do? Yeah, just one mantra. Yes, it's very nice in Washington, D.C. Yes, this, no, this, never mind. Just let me listen to... That's the task that you give the mind. Okay, let's try again, and we'll start it a little faster, and you can work on that, the Sankalpa idea. And just to say that you have to make a Sankalpa between every word or every mantra, that's a way to begin. Once the mind gets in the habit, you just have to remind it quite gently, and it's what it's supposed to be doing. So follow my speed, we can start together, and then we'll quickly speed up. And then, let's see if I'll let you go into, I'll say, go at your own pace. And also, sometimes you like to chant softly and the person next to you likes to chant loudly and fast and slow. So chant at your own speed means you can move around and find a comfortable place. But remember this one principle. Listen to one mantra and make the determination. Wherever the mind goes, just bring it back to what's going on, and what's going on is listening to the mantra, and to be detached about the last mantra, the next mantra, the rest of the rounds, all the rounds you've chanted, be detached. Okay, let's begin. I'll chant the first one to start the speed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Be detached and bring your mind back to the Sankalpa. One mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Okay. Okay, please. We're in Nam Kirtan Kunji here. Anyone would like to say how that chanting went?
One of all of them still.
I would say at 1 minute beat yourself up, and then the mind will beat everyone else up the next minute and make yourself much better than everyone else. The mind, we'll talk about the mind. Oh. Revealing the mind for what it is. It's the cause of our being in the material world, practically speaking. That's what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in a song in Saranagati. A wicked mind has brought me into this world. It holds on to this and pushes that, holds on to that. But that's the next lesson. But yes, one mantra and be happy. Think how fortunate you are to have heard one mantra. And then if you want, when you hear it's time to chant the next one, you can decide whether you want to listen to it. Don't take it more than that.
To interfere with my Sankalpa.
How have you done?
Huh?
How have you done?
I've done pretty well.
With your chanting?
Yeah, I've done pretty good. So it seems to work.
No, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about with drive from the pain.
Food, you know that. Oh, God,
but let's take one step at a time.
Oh, okay.
Also,
I was wondering if I was.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, yes and no. Yes, in that obviously there's prema bhakti, and what I would like to suggest is this is not mechanical. To listen to Krishna's name is not mechanical chanting. because Krishna is there in his name. I'll read you some quotations from Srila Prabhupada in letters. Could you read that? Do you have that with you? That one from our morning walk?
Listen very carefully.
This will help us.
This is from a morning walk in 1975. Srila Prabhupada has just received a question by one of his disciples, how the disciple, could control his restless mind during the japa period. Here is Prabhupada's surprising and grave reply. What is the use of controlling the mind? You have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. That's all. What is the question of the mind?
Striking and grave. I have this one. This is a letter, 1969, to Satsrup Maharaj. There is no requirement that japa should be silently and chanting should be done differently. Loudly or silently, everything is all right. There is no such restriction. The only thing is that we should chant very attentively, hearing the vibration very distinctly. So what I see, a problem I have when I go to the name due to suffering and don't make the emphasis listening to the name, there's actually two problems. One is a deep philosophical one, and that is that the removal of the suffering becomes the prime reason, and it stays there, and that will not give us Shuddhanam. It's contaminated with jnana. The second problem is the mind will tend to wander back to all the sufferings and this and that. It just jumps and jumps and jumps and jumps. Well, if we just listen to the name, of course, the sufferings will drive us there, but the prime thing should be to hear attentively. And if pain and difficulty drive us there, very good. But then when we're there, we should listen very attentively. Another quotation, another letter, 1968. Your sincerity and desire for doing some service for Krishna is very much encouraging to me. Please go on chanting nicely and steadily. Chanting 16 rounds is prescribed, but you can chant more rounds and hear them very attentively. Another letter, 1971. The process is to follow the regulative principles and regularly chant 16 rounds. That is our strength in spiritual life, and gradually all such problems will be resolved. And because you are sincerely desiring to serve the deity, you can be sure that Krishna will help you in all respects. So simply be persevering and go on chanting attentively, and all these temporary manifestations will come to pass. Another letter, 71. Do not be disappointed if sometimes your mind gives some agitation. Such agitation is only temporary and will be driven away by chanting. So chant loudly when there is some disturbance and hear the transcendental sound attentively. So we're emphasizing by chanting one mantra, the attentively. And I'll explain in a few minutes, Krishna willing, why one mantra. I've already explained sort of half of it. But why not go ahead to the past, to the future, and back to then? So many different things. Another letter, 72. If you stick to these principles with determination, then you will become free from all attachment to Maya by Krishna's grace. The example is that when the sun is in the sky, there is no question of darkness. Similarly, when the Hare Krishna mantra is vibrating on your tongue and you are hearing attentively, then your consciousness becomes clear or Krishna conscious, and there is no question of Maya or hazy consciousness. Just as when the light and darkness come together, the darkness cannot stand before the light. When the mind is just embracing the holy name, or at least listening to it, what happens is, first we listen, and then when some taste comes, and this is what Maharaj was speaking in his own words yesterday, then we embrace the holy name, and then it's no effort. Now we have to struggle with the mind to listen, but all it takes is the mind slowing down. That's all it takes, and then the name begins to manifest its sweetness. And then we sort of, the consciousness embraces the holy name, and then after that, which is beyond our control, is that the holy name will hold us. That part is beyond our control. So we should do what's in our control. So Prabhupada finishes the letter. Just as when the light and darkness come together, the darkness cannot stand before the light. So Maya cannot stand before the presence of Krishna. Always remember, therefore, to chant Hare Krishna, and that will save you in all circumstances, without a doubt. And the final letter quotation I'll read now. Chanting japa should be done in the early morning. This is 1972. With full concentration, preferably during the Brahma Muhurta time. Concentrate fully on the sound vibration, pronouncing each name distinctly, and gradually your speed in chanting will increase naturally. Do not worry so much about chanting fast. More important is the hearing. Now, in a slightly different way, maybe something's feeding back here. This is from Skanda Purana. Hari Bhakti Vilas quotes this. The holy name, because we want to keep this in mind, the holy name of Krishna is the highest benediction. There's one quotation I'll read from Palyavali later where one devotee is just saying, let this happen, let that happen, people want liberation, people want to go to heavenly planets, I'll be satisfied just chanting Krishna's names again and again and again and again and again. What can cause such satisfaction? It is because Krishna and Krishna's names are the same. It is bathing sarvatma snapanam. What's the one before? That one? Purna asva purnam amrita asvadanam. The soul becomes bathed completely in nectar. This is the holy name. And recently I did some research about what Mahaprabhu's gift was. I looked in very simple research. I looked in the folio what Prabhupada said about Mahaprabhu's special gift. Someone had asked me a question that was a deep question. And he made it simple. And he showed the highest thing, but he made prema bhakti simple by giving the holy name and emphasizing that. But it has to be chanted properly. And the foundational proper... foundational proper concept is attentive hearing. And everything else higher is a coating on top of that, and it will not take away from our hearing. And that's the standard. You hear deeper and more attentively with more love. Just like you may hear the name of a person you hate very attentively. Or some, you may hear the name of someone you don't care at all about attentively. But when you hear the name of someone that you love, then it's completely different. What to speak of if that person is none different from someone you love, from himself. So but you're still, in all cases, you're hearing fully. So that's the base thing, attentiveness. There's a famous Brother's story, or Vaishnava story, Gaudiya Vaishnava story, about this Brahmin was sitting at dusk on a lonely forest path. He was walking in the forest, and suddenly it became the sandhya, the time to say his Gayatri mantra, his mantras. So he was sitting and he sat down to chant, and suddenly on that same path at dusk, this young lady comes running along and just knocks right into this old Brahmin and just keeps on running. And he was so upset. He's a Brahmin, he's saying his mantra, he was trying to be peaceful, he was trying to be attentive. This person disturbed him with the disrespect and then hurt him. And he couldn't practically, he said his mantra, but he couldn't hear anything after that. Then 2 hours, the same girl comes peacefully walking down the road, and she sees the Brahmin, and she immediately offers her respects. Is there any service I can do for you or anything? And he looked at her and said, "Just what's going on?" Of course, it probably sounds sweeter in Sanskrit or some other language. "What, you know, what's going on? You're so respectful to me right now, offering service, and you didn't. And before, you don't even seem to even know that you banged into me, you kicked me, you knocked me over, you disturbed my mind so much. What's going on?" And she very, very humbly and embarrassedly replied with the truth what was going on. That before I was running and I was going to meet my lover, and I didn't see anything. I just saw my lover in my mind. And coming back, I was in my usual self and respectful to the Brahmins, etc. So she explained it to him. And the moral of the story is, whose meditation was deeper? So the point being, when there is love and absorption, that's rag, absorption born of attachment, it's not that we don't hear, but along with the hearing comes so much else. It's love. So that is what we want. But if we want to jump to love without going through the process, then we can very easily get ourselves into trouble. So let me read about, and we won't get the result. So Srila Sahari Bhaktivilas says, "The holy name of Krishna is the highest benediction." Just think of what that means. It's the highest benediction. It will award everything. "Above any other benediction," think about the gift of Mahaprabhu. Think about the gift of Srila Prabhupada. Think about the gift of that so many devotees give by teaching others to chant Krishna's holy names. "It is the eternal fruit of transcendental knowledge of the tree of the entire scriptures. O best of the Bhagavas, O Bhrigumuni, if anyone chants Lord Krishna's name just once without offense, whether he chants with faith or indifference, the holy name immediately liberates him." It's very powerful, very wonderful. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but it will come up later. It will come up later. Yes, definitely. But we're taking a first step here. Any other responses about the... I've seen devotees, when they're chanting, they go, "Hare Krishna." I tend to do that a little bit. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." And naturally, not only will your mind get tired, but your body will get tired, everything will get tired. But I think this probably, if we relax a little bit, it becomes very, very, very simple. What we're trying to do, and I think this is what you were saying, that it's so simple what we're trying to do. We're trying to touch this, our consciousness. There's the soul, and then there's this one covering that has the four different functions, right? We're just trying to touch that with the transcendental sound vibration that is not of this world. It's coming, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. It's coming down. We're just trying to bring the two together, the living entity in Krishna in the form of the holy names, and let them touch. So it's very, very simple. All you need is, as Prabhupada said, the tongue and the ear. That's all. But we try, and we have to try, perhaps in the beginning, because one reason is we have very unruly minds. So we have to struggle in that way. But really, it's the most natural and simple thing. Any other comments? Did someone have a lot of trouble?
I felt aware of different levels of the mind, not just when it was sort of saying, wandering off, but also when it was saying, oh, you're doing well now.
Yes.
Or, oh, was that the van? Or, what does one mantra mean? Let's go into more detail on this. And it was like having to keep it back on track over and over. And it was like a real battle. But the moments where it felt like I actually heard were, I don't know what the feeling was. It was almost like it wasn't a feeling. It was almost just being there.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, the mind will do such wonderful things. Hey, you're listening right now. That's really great. Boy, this is really good. You're actually this. You're really listening to the Maha Mantra now. You're probably listening better than anyone else. Yeah, you're probably the best chanter. And it'll just... Oh, boy, you're really chanting terribly. You know, oh, boy, you're the worst. It can do, and it can jump from one to the next. And the cure, and I was interested also when the van went with that really funny, only in India, music that goes on when it goes in reverse. You know, it pulls your mind in that way. I was wondering how everyone was going to do with that. But I saw when it ended, everyone went more or less right back.
I also noticed that I said, well, actually, I've observed myself.
Yes.
And actually, I didn't consciously go there.
Yes.
I was able actually to stay focused because I had actually clear instructions for the mind. So I was... protected as kind of, oh, let's check this out.
What's where's it going?
This stupid thing, what's that again?
Yeah. I wonder if it has some prasadam in it. I wonder if I'm hungry. If I'm not hungry now, I'll probably be hungry later. What time is it anyway? How much longer is later? And how many more minutes do we have to do this? And for each time when the mind does subtle things or gross things, the same thing. Just listen to one mantra. I found that even with boredom, and even with someone who's, if you're sitting near someone who's chanting in a different style than you, the mind will get disturbed or it will get bored. But boredom and disturbance is just a function of the mind. It's not actually, it doesn't have, because the same thing that can make you disturbed and bored at one time will give you so much pleasure at another time. It's not coming from the thing, it's just coming from the mind. So therefore, the same cure is there as this sankalpa. I'm just going to listen to Krishna's holy names, to this mantra. How many more mantras do I have to chant and do this for? How much longer? Never mind. One mantra. Don't let the mind pull you. Just one mantra.
Marsh? I found out something which I may be very encouraging for other devotees to hear.
I'm not in the best condition of concentration at the moment because in plain words, the rest was too short after the nice breakfast. And now the mind is, the body is a little tired and the mind is, oh. But I found out, if I do this simple instruction that one mantra at a time, always really one mantra at a time, which means more or less this slogan, be here now. You know?
Or we could say it the other way. The be here now means more or less one mantra. Yeah. One mantra.
Yeah, one. Not even at a time. Right, one mantra. After I had repeated this a few times to my mind, which really went all over the place. It went to this particular devotee who has the most beautiful, great voice and chanting, and it went to program with 800 people in the National Theater in Croatia. It went all over. But I always brought it back to one mantra. And after some time, the mind became joyful, almost like a child whom you give something to do and who accepts that. And it was very joyful. Yes, let's do it. Wonderful. And it became silent.
In other How words, nice.
The mind become. I feel. I mean, I hope no one is objecting to this, but the mind is sometimes like a little child.
Yes.
And naughty and really crafty and demanding attention. But the moment you find something to engage it with, they become good. You know, they do the small little thing you ask them to do with enthusiasm.
It is just like a naughty child, the mind. So why don't we move to the mind a little bit, since we're talking about the mind. We spoke about what the mind is. It's a function of the one substance, the citta, the buddhi, ahankar. And its primary business is to protect the false ego, the false sense of self. And just like in that little story of the Brahmin who got knocked over by the running young lady, what happens is when I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, someone bangs into you, don't they know who I am? Why aren't they more respectful? You get upset and everything because we have a false sense of who I am, and this is exactly the opposite of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is that we understand that we're insignificant servants. But the mind's business is to make us feel very, very big, or protect rather the false egos giving us a sense, a big sense of self. So, there is only one. I'll tell you in advance what the second key is in the second lesson. So this is the first. The second key is neglect the mind. Don't take it seriously. Now this is such a difficult thing to do, but yet it's required. We won't be able to chant properly unless we learn this art. At least during the time where we're chanting our japa. At least during that time. At least when we make our sankalpa. Because the mind will tell us so many things are important. Like a child, like a naughty child that will say, I want this. And did you ever see a child in a supermarket? You know, a two-year-old child in a supermarket or a Toys R Us. Do they have Toys R Us in Europe?
Yes.
Yes.
Toys R Us.
Yes, Toys R Us. Yeah. But what happens? That's just what the mind is like in this world. What happens when you've seen it? The child's in the shopping cart or something like that, and the mother's pushing the child in the shopping cart. And what does the child do, the two-year-old child? Okay, dhyaya to visaya punksan. What happens after looking around? Yes, mother knows. I want. Because there's so many things presented before his eyes. I want. Who's the center? Who's the enjoyer? The child. This is false ego. I want. This is the mind. I want. And then the great battle begins. But what does the child want, actually? He wants everything, basically anything. It goes from one thing to the next. It just wants. And then the battle of wills begins. Because what happens? What happens? No, okay. And the child says... Yes, the child says, oh yeah, no, we'll see. And what does the child do in response? What does the mind do in response? It screams. And what is the meaning of that? This is politics. The meaning of this screaming is, I'm going to make so much noise, everyone in the supermarket is going to look at you. And everyone's going to think that you're the worst mother in the entire world. This is child politics. And then the mother says, no, you can't have it. And the child screams even louder until... And this is what's going on. And this is what the mind is like. It's like an unbehaved, naughty child that just wants and wants and wants and kicks and throws and doesn't want. I hate this. I want that. I hate this. This is the mind's functioning. Yes. Confirmed and denied simultaneously. Now... In the story of the Avanti Brahmana, was that what you were referring to? Or it was Pingala, what you brought up? Yeah, this is... No, not that. But in the story of the Avanti Brahmana that Krishna tells to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, it's a very, very interesting story. There's this very wealthy mercantile man who is an extreme miser. He's a family man, but he refuses to spend money. He refuses to spend money on himself, even for his own sense enjoyment. He refuses to spend money on the demigods' worship. He refuses to spend money on his family. He refuses to pay his taxes. He refuses to give any charity. Just, I want miser, 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 miser collecting. A very miserable existence, in fact. And one of the faults of this is that every one of those agents who you're naturally supposed to be giving money to, from the family to the government to the charity to the demigods, they turn against you. That's what happens. So, and that is what happened. So gradually, slowly and then quickly, this very, very wealthy miser lost everything. And soon as he lost everything, his family members, they rejected him, they kicked him out, and he was alone on the street, practically penniless. And he was suffering so much, because to have wealth and then lose it, to be rich then to poor, is a torture for the mind. It challenges his whole sense of reality. But there he is with nothing. And then, by Krishna's grace, because he was a pious person, he had a realization. And the realization that he had is spoken in quite a few verses in this 23rd chapter of the 11th canto, from 43 to 57. And the first part of the realization is this. I won't read it all because there's quite a few verses. Just a few verses. The Brahmin said, he became very peaceful. And he realized, he realized what the cause of his misery was. And he said, these people who have rejected me, and he was being treated, people were spitting at him. And they said, oh, he began wandering around like a sannyasi, a mendicant. He began poor, wandering around, and people would ridicule them. Oh, his family has kicked him out because he was such a bad person, and now he's making believe he's a religious person. And people used to take it, he would beg food, they would take it and pass urine on it. They would feed it to the dogs, they would take his clothes, and then make believe they were going to give it back to him and then throw it away. They would do that with his food. They were incredible, the description, how cruel, and how they would tease him and make fun of him and treat him so terribly. But he had reached a place within that his happiness was undisturbed by anything, by any external thing. And he expresses his realization here, what that place he, his consciousness had taken shelter of. And this is what he says. And this is so instructive, and it's required if you're going to deal with your mind. Because so much of the mind's dealings is friends and enemies. This person hurt me. this person is my friend. He was kind to me. Politics, in, out, hate, icha, dvesha. I want this person. He's my friend. He's kind to me. This person doesn't like me. I hate him. I hope he... something or other unpleasant happens to him. At least he gets transferred to a different universe quickly. You know, push this one. This is just simply the mind. So he reached a shelter, and this is what we want to do. We want to reach a shelter beyond the mind. As long as we are taking shelter of our mind, we will have hell in this world. So this is what he says. These people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods, neither is my own body, the planets, my past work, or time. Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation, samsaradhava, of material life. It is the mind alone. Adishtayam manastayam visha upasevate. This is the point I would like to make. It's a simple principle, but it's oh so difficult to do. We have to become detached from the wanting and the hating of the mind. He continues, all the senses have been under the control of the mind since time immemorial, and the mind itself never comes under the sway of anyone else. And if you try, when I'm attached to something, and you try to detach me from it at the point when I'm attached to it, then I might kill you. And it's happened hundreds and thousands of times. It won't come under the sway of anyone else. He is stronger than the strongest. And his godlike power, with a small g, is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of all the senses. And failing to conquer this irrepressible enemy, you cannot stop it. The mind, whose urges are intolerable, and who torments the heart. Many people are completely bewildered and create useless quarrels with others. Thus they conclude that other people are either their friends, their enemies, or parties indifferent to them. So he goes on just talking about the illusion of the mind. So he says, he goes through that a list. He says, again, the mind is the only thing that causes happiness and distress. And we're talking right now about the materialistic mind, not the devotional mind. Because the materialistic mind business is to attach us to things in the material world and push us from things in the material world, which is a different form of attachment only. So he says that other people, and this is almost impossible to accept, except when we're sitting here, other people are not the cause of our happiness or distress. The demigods don't cause our happiness and distress. The soul, we ourselves, are not causing our own happiness and distress. The planets fighting with each other or whatever, the astrological treatises, they do not cause our happiness and distress. Our karma doesn't cause our happiness and distress. Time, which moves us and pushes us from place to place against our will, does not cause our happiness and distress. There's nothing to be attracted to and nothing to be repulsed from in the material world. This is very radical. No way, because usually we take shelter of the mind and what it happens to be attached to or hateful of at a particular moment. We take shelter of it as if it's true. Whatever it's feeling is true. But he says we should not do this. Instead, in the famous verse that is quoted by sannyasis, etam sa ashtaya sa paramatmanishtam, that we should take shelter. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the shelter that we are looking for. And there is no other shelter. Everything else is durasrai, false shelters. As if I moved the planets around in a way that I like, or moved every person in the universe to line up with my desires, the people I hate go there, where it's very, very hot. And the people I have so much affection for, who like me, they can be over here close. Even if we could line up the whole universe, it would not bring us satisfaction. Of course, it's not possible to do that. And that's our frustration in life. This is how Krishna has constructed the universe, to not cooperate with the false ego. Have you ever noticed that? The universe does not cooperate with me being the central figure, and that the whole universe is supposed to be organized around what makes me happy. The universe is constructed, designed to simply not cooperate with that, to make us miserable on one hand, but to teach us the lesson that why take shelter of the illusion that I'm the center, which is what the false ego is trying to tell us and what the mind is trying to enforce. So I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas. This is the system. To find out our real shelter and take shelter there. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not to listen to the mind, but to listen, and this we'll be discussing later, to listen to the holy names at this time, because the holy names are Krishna. So this is perhaps a natural time for a break, is it? Half hour. And we're going to explore, now we're going to get into a real exploration about how the mind works. Maybe some of us don't want to come for that part, but I hopefully it will be revealed and what the cure is. Okay, thank you very much. So now it's exactly 12. So exactly 12:30. Could you remind everyone 5 minutes before?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Nam Kunj Kutir ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.